I'm your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to Alchemy, the podcast all about building a business on the front lines of the new economy.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Have an old friend on the show, Jennifer Cavanaugh. She's the SVP of Marketing and Media for the Philadelphia Eagles. Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Jen, always a pleasure. And I got to tell you, I was thinking about this today. Do you know how many years we've known each other?
I'm going to guess. Well, it's back in the Buddy Media days, and I want to say that.
Like, No.
Wait.
Pre-Buddy Media.
So 2010?
No, pre. We're talking like 2006 or 7.
Oh, my God.
Don't you remember I came in when you were at Oxygen to pitch search?
Yes, but I thought it. Oh, God. Okay.
2006. I was at Acronym.
Oh, I forgot all about your acronym era. You've done so much since then. You know, that's really asking me to dig back into the annals.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
Yeah. So I would actually say, like, I've known you longer than most people. So, like, I think we're going on like 17 years.
I love it. And here we are.
And you know what? I got this really fun thing on my Facebook the other day when we were in LA that one night. I don't know what event. Oh, it was Digital Hollywood. And we went out to dinner. Remember that place that had buy one bottle, get the next one 50% off?
Yes. Oh, was it the tree in Santa
Monica? That incredible tree. It came up last week on my Facebook, and I'm like, wow, that's a long time ago.
I love that memory. And I love, you know, buy one bottle, get one half off.
I love that too. So, Jen, listen, it's great to have you on. And I think it's kind of crazy how time goes by because you've now been in. With the Eagles, what, over 5 years maybe, like, at this point?
Yeah, a little over 5 years, but technically this is my sixth season.
Wow. Holy moly. That's amazing. Time goes by really fast. I guess, you had COVID in between there also, so that, though we kind of lost a few years, right? But Jen, for those who don't know you, you obviously have had an amazing career in media and advertising and networks and, you know, obviously now being with a sports franchise is kind of, I'd say, pretty electric for you, right? I mean, you've got a rabid fan base. It's really fun. You get to do cool stuff. Talk to us a little bit about, I'd say most recently, I know you guys you're having an incredible season so far. I think when we talked, you're what, 7-1? Amazing.
Yep.
So,
7-1.
You know, talk to us a little about the season this year, a little bit about your role, but let's talk about when we get past that, your fans. How do you like, it just got to be so much dopamine living off your fans because they love the Eagles so much. So let's just kind of start with your role and then we'll talk about the community.
Yeah. So as head of marketing and media, maybe I should just give a quick headline on what that means in terms of my teams. So the majority of all of our fan touch points are orchestrated through one or multiple teams within my group. So I oversee Eagles Entertainment, which is all of our original content, all of our great social content, our community relations team, our marketing and brand team, and then our data and insights team. So I have the opportunity to work on all the things that kind of reach our fans in different ways, whether that's events or TikTok. So that's really fun. And as you said, you know, my background is kind of varied. This was my first job in sports, but there's no question at this point for me that having worked in media, having been a consultant, having done a lot of the things I did previously were really kind of preparation for where I am today, because all of those platforms, all of those tools, all of the storytelling is really, you know, what we lean on today to engage with our fans.
So from a game perspective, are you at every game?
I'm at every game. I'm at every away game. So I'll travel with the team and some of my colleagues. It is so much fun. And it was an incredible, it's an incredible experience to throw, you know, this amazing event for 70,000 people 8 or so times a year, more if you're lucky. But to see the way our fans travel on the road is also equally incredible. I was in Maryland yesterday at FedEx Field, and 50% of the fans in the stadium were Eagles fans. I mean, they're just so incredibly passionate. and love to travel. Same with LA a few weeks ago.
Well, you know, I'm like the biggest really football fun. Fan ever, right? No, you don't. I love football. I'm not the biggest fan ever, but I will tell you that being at the stadium, being at a game is so much fun, and it's like electric, right? It's just like there's just so much energy, and like even if you don't like sports, it's super fun. So, you know, you obviously not only get to go to every game home and away, are there certain things, you know, from being like, let's just say a marketer when you're at the city and you're like, oh shit, that's awesome. Let's do that next time. We're like, do ideas just kind of pop into your head at times?
They do, and not just my head. I mean, I have an incredibly creative team and also very observant team. I mean, our goal is to design an experience that feels like a celebration or a party from the moment our fans kind of step onto Pepsi Plaza all the way through into the end of the game. So we have so many opportunities to do that. And we really get into the nuances of it all, the design of what you see on the video boards, the music that we play, when we play it, what kinds of activations we have out on the plaza for fans pregame, what does a halftime show look like that, you know, feels fun and celebratory and maybe, you know, not like any other halftime show we've done. So, you know, we're having a lot of fun kind of, I think, pushing even our own creative boundaries. We brought our Kelly Green uniforms back this season, which was a great opportunity, I think, to think creatively within an era. So late 80s, 90s. And that let us do a lot of fun throwback things and think a little differently than we typically
do. So from a partnership perspective, I'm sure you get people hitting you up left and right to do something at all times. Are there certain things that you're like, okay, really need to think about our fan base? Are they going to like it? Does it resonate with them? Obviously, it's not always about commercial. And commercials mean like revenue, right? Like, how do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the trifecta in any case is when you're able to hit on an idea that is engaging for fans, accomplishes the objective of the partner and drives our business forward in some way. Anytime we're able to connect those three dots, we end up with, you know, a winning idea. And sometimes two of those dots are a little stronger than the third, but that's typically where we like to focus. We're very fortunate in that our partners really understand our brand. They understand this city. They understand our fan base. They themselves know that we have to lead with authenticity in everything we do, or our fans are going to reject it, whatever it is, which is a great position to be in. They also appreciate the power of storytelling. So we've had a chance to create really amazing social content, long form content, bring partners onto our, you know, YouTube channel and in new and fun ways. And that always makes it more interesting. Like when they're as equally as creative as we are, and we put our heads together.
So
great things.
One question I have for you, and I think this is something that probably people in the industry often think about non-sports, but like you're obviously like you're your own entity, but you're part of the NFL, right? And I've done deals with the entire NFL in the past where from an umbrella level perspective, it's like, okay, you do a deal with the NFL and they get all the clubhouses to kind of pitch in and they put money, same kind of stuff with the MLB, but there's all sorts of crazy rules and what you can and can't do for your own club. So talk, like, is there anything that you can talk about with us? Like, how do you get to dictate what you want to do outside of the NFL for your team and your fan?
Yeah, it is. It is interesting. So at the end of the day, the NFL owns all of our brands, right? So we have some restrictions around our ability to market physically, which would be within 75 miles of our stadium. And the reason for that is to sort of protect teams' home marketing areas, make sure certain teams aren't trying to go in and dominate other markets. So that was interesting and unique to me first coming in. But then on the digital and social side, as we know, you know, there aren't really geographical boundaries. So the ways in which we're able to, I would say, maybe really sort of express ourselves happens a lot on those platforms.
Any really super fun, like, fan stories? Anything you're like, oh my God, this was hysterical? Okay, talk to us. I love stories. Yes. I love fan stories.
This is a recent one, so you'll have to go to our TikTok channel and check this out. But at our last game, we had someone from our social team, Kelsey, out on Pepsi Plaza, which is basically like the area outside the stadium where you head to your seats. And she was holding this envelope and just kind of walking up to random people, but not saying anything. And the first couple of people she walked up to, they looked at her and they were like, what is that? And kind of didn't pay it any mind. And then the third sort of folks that she met took the envelope. And long story short, the rest of the TikTok is about Terrence and Marie, this absolutely adorable couple who were surprised with sideline passes. So we took them down to the sidelines, filmed the whole thing. And as they're on the sidelines, they're calling friends, they're calling family. It was really, really sweet and ended up, as of, I don't know, 10 minutes ago, had over 1 million likes. So that went viral. And, you know, we've gotten outreach from some media outlets wanting to do stuff with them. So that was pretty cool. And I think an example of how you can do something really simple and change a fan's, you know, life, at least for a day.
I love that. So fun. You know, I've gotten to be friends with Alex and Steve Cohen, who own the Mets. They own Steve. And so they're neighbors of mine out here. And so I've gone to a whole bunch of games with them and, you know, in their suite. And it's obviously it's a very different experience, right? When you're in like the owner's suite. But there are times where Alex is like, come on, we're going to go get people up in the nosebleeds down to the first level.
Mm.
And we literally are just going around and she would like pick families that have like a lot of people with them. And she literally relocates them down to the field. And it's so cool because people are so not only excited, but they're like, oh my God, Alex Cohen is giving me upgraded seats.
Yeah.
It's just a nice thing to just be there and see.
Absolutely. Well, they say, you know, if you want to know who your fans really are, go to the top level of your stadium, last row, and introduce yourself, because those are the people who will sit anywhere to watch the game, will brave the elements. Those are the people who are hardcore.
Okay, so Jen, you've been there now 5 years, and so I'm sure you also have your own rituals on game day. You got to win, you got the good juju. Like, is there anything that you do? Like, is there something that you wear? Is there something that you say? Do you have a lucky charm? Like, any game day rituals that you're now, because I feel like you're doing this for a long time. You're part of it. You're part of the energy, right?
Yes, for sure. I think everybody probably has a game day ritual. I don't know. I think everyone does. Yeah. Well, there's always like the outfit. You're thinking about what you're wearing in advance because there's usually a touch of green somewhere. So figuring that out is important. My closet is entirely consists of like green and black at this stage. But figuring that out, usually when I come into the stadium, I usually get here 3.5-4 hours before kick. And so on my way in, I have a playlist that I frequently update. The playlist is all songs that put me in a good mood. Usually sing along stuff, just whatever, you know, get the energy or the juju, as you said, to the right level. So by the time I get to the stadium, you know, I drop my bags in the press box and I head out to check on the team. So my team is everywhere from, you know, the tailgates to the plaza to on field. And my goal is really just to check in on them and make sure everything's going well and see how I can help or grab a hand warmer, answer questions, find them things they need. And that's really more than anything the way I see my role.
Well, you know, Kurt lived in Philly for a long time, so we have a ton of Philadelphia friends. So nice. I hear a lot of fly Eagles, fly, go bird all the time. Even a New Yorker, right?
You just want to love the Eagles.
Yeah, go birds is the universal greeting. It's incredible. It's even global. Like I remember when we were in London playing a few seasons ago, actually now it's probably like 4 seasons ago, just walking through Borough Market and so many people screaming, go birds. I mean, it's just, it's wild.
What's crazy too, when you guys won the Super Bowl too, it's just like the parade and the fans, like they're so passionate, if not fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I see some of these videos, I'm like, wow, that is definitely some pretty, pretty, pretty excited fans, right?
A passionate is absolutely the right word.
Right.
They never cease to amaze us in terms of their transparency with us, their creativity. I mean, the truth is, they are so passionate about this team that even when we're not playing well, and they're very clearly letting us know that, the reminder to us that the worst thing that can happen is not that your fans are upset with you. The worst thing that can happen is that your fans are apathetic. And so we love that they kind of ride the ups and downs with us all the way through last season to a Super Bowl, ultimately, that didn't end the way that we hoped. But the fan base is still here. They're rooting us on. They continue to grow. And we like that they don't hold back. You know, it means that there's a real, authentic, longstanding relationship in place.
This is their team. Like, this is, you know, they're showing up in force, right?
Absolutely.
So, super fun stuff. And Jen, we haven't caught up in so long. So I was excited to have you on the show just to hear your voice. But it's also been kind of it's been a really tough year for a lot of people. Obviously, interest rates, you know, looming recession.
Yeah.
God, what's going on in the world right now? Like, things are just upside down.
Mm-hmm.
But like, times are tight for a lot of families who really want to go to sporting events. Obviously, with inflation, everything's so expensive. Have you guys seen any impact on like getting people into the stadium, even though it's tough times for people? Just like, you know what, we're spending our money where we want to have a good time, and that's what we're doing. Where have you seen a little bit of pullback when it comes to spending?
Yeah, it is tough times for a lot of people. And just to kind of go back to how incredible our fan base is, the truth is, we really haven't seen that. And the reason for that is that our fans are making trade-offs. They might be trading off a vacation for, you know, their season tickets, or they're not doing other things so that they can be here with us, which is humbling on many levels. But I think, again, just what an incredible sign of how great this fan base is and how much this team means to them. I mean, this is like a multi-generational relationship, right? So no matter what, if they can be here, they're doing whatever they can to be here. And we encounter all kinds of stories and situations, people in the community, and just can't get to a game for whatever reason, and do our best to surprise and delight when possible. But they have made sacrifices to be with us, and we recognize that.
Awesome. Well, Jen, before we go, I mean, obviously, I'm sure you're looking forward to hopefully the Super Bowl, but anything next year that you're kind of looking at 24, even for your personal stuff, doesn't even have to be for work. Anything that you're really looking forward to as we're kind of rounding out Q4 and going into a new year, like any aspirations, anything you want to do differently?
Yeah, I would say looking ahead, I am excited to see if some of the bets we're making this season pay off. One, trying a lot of different things. And so that will be interesting to me. I'm always kind of, you know, evaluating whether or not I'm doing the best job maximizing life and being positive and holding on to perspective. You and I were talking about this a little earlier. I think perspective is one of the greatest gifts a human being can have. And I never want to feel as though I've lost it. So I like to gut check and just ask myself, are you happy? Are you doing the things that are making you happy? Are you taking care of yourself? All those things that at the end of the day are more important than I think anything.
I'm with you 100%. Well, Jen, listen, great to have you on.
Yeah.
Great to hear you guys are having such a killer season. I hope it continues. I hope you guys go to the Super Bowl.
Thank you.
I'm going to get down to a game.
Come to a game anytime. You just let me know.
I got to get down to Philly.
Yep.
But we got to catch up, and always a pleasure.
Yes, it was so good catching up with you. Let's do it again soon.
Go Birds.
Go Birds.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.